Googles and the Club.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Google has a funny relationship with Wall Street. For example, the search engine refuses to issue earnings forecasts, and that drives investors crazy. But on Wall Street, the only thing that matters in the end is money, and Google's making lots of it for shareholders. So after the markets closed yesterday, Standard & Poor's added Google to its roster of 500 companies, the S&P 500. Overnight, Google shares shot up 9%. The world's largest computer maker, Dell, said this week it's buying a company called Alienware. Their computers are heavy-duty machines designed for video gaming, something Dell isn't really into right now. But there's another issue. Dell uses chips made by market leader Intel. Alienware uses AMD chips. So might Dell dump Intel? Patrick Hirsch has more.
Intel is still the biggest chip maker in the US, but computers with AMD processors are about a third cheaper than those with Intel chips. That price difference helped AMD erode Intel's market share to just above 50% last year. Now investors wonder whether Dell might defect to AMD as well. Michael Masden of Credit Suisse says Intel probably won't lose Dell's business this year, but it can't count on keeping the PC maker as a customer.
The days in which Intel the technology leader out by themselves are over, and AMD is a real technology challenger now. And that's having implications in market share, it's having implications on pricing for the chips.
Investors shouldn't despair just yet, though. Masden says Intel still has an edge over AMD, particularly in the growing notebook market. Its recent deal to put Intel chips in Apple machines shows the company remains the go-to processor maker in the business. I'm Patrick Hirsch for Marketplace.
Okay, people, the clock is ticking. If you haven't started doing your taxes, you know, maybe it's time to get the tax software or go to your friendly neighborhood tax guy. But watch it. The IRS is proposing a rule that could expose your information to a whole new group of people. Hillary Wickay explains.
Tax preparers have been able to disclose your information to a third party with your informed consent since the mid-1970s. The new rule would relax current restrictions that limit use of your information to your tax preparer's affiliates. That's a big deal for consumer advocates. They worry about who would get the information and how they would safeguard it in a world with hackers and identity thieves. Chi-Chi Wu with the National Consumer Law Center believes the new rule would allow tax preparers to sell your information outside their circle of affiliates.
Your tax return information is a gold mine for marketers. You know, how many kids you have, what kind of investments you have, where your bank accounts are.
A public hearing on this issue is scheduled for April 4th. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
You can't go 50 feet in Las Vegas without bumping into a slot machine, but apparently 50 feet is too far for the casinos. Last night, the Nevada Gaming Commission said it's allowing them to pass out new handheld gambling devices. Now you'll be able to place bets anywhere in Vegas, walking down the street, in the pool, in your taxi. Dow fell 47 points yesterday to 11,270. The NASDAQ dropped 3 to 2,300, and the S&P 500 lost 3 as well. Oil is climbing again. It's up to $64 a barrel. This is Marketplace. The U.S. and Ecuador are close to a free trade agreement, but that is the last thing many people in Ecuador want. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
Thousands of indigenous people took to the streets in Ecuador this week. They blocked key roads, costing Ecuador millions in stalled commerce. They want Ecuador to give up free trade talks with the U.S. They say the deal would damage their traditional way of life by opening the country to U.S. behemoths. Brian Dean directs the Florida FTAA, a group that supports free trade in the hemisphere.
Clearly, there's a movement at foot in the Andes and elsewhere in Latin America where people that have traditionally been on the margins of economic and political power are starting to become emboldened and mobilize.
Ecuadorian trade officials are in Washington today for a final round of trade talks. Their Andean neighbors, Colombia and Peru, have already inked deals with the U.S. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Alan Greenspan's turf was the economy. Paul Tagliabue's the gridiron. But the two leaders have a lot in common. Tagliabue is the National Football League commissioner who said this week he's retiring after 17 years. Greenspan just stepped down from the Federal Reserve after 18. And like Greenspan, Tagliabue is getting high praise for what he accomplished. Michael Nisley from ESPN.com joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Not too bad. What did Tagliabue do for the NFL?
Tagliabue made a ton of money for the National Football League. He found a way to print money for professional football in this country. There are a lot of ways he did it, but in a nutshell, that's what his top accomplishment is.
What would you say is the key thing that he did?
In his 17 years as the commissioner, there was not a shred of labor strife with the players' union. He put in place or engineered into place a system, a collective bargaining agreement that allowed for free agency, that allowed for revenue sharing. He really oversaw 17 years of labor peace, and I think that's unique, at least in recent annals of professional sports in this country.
So Tagliabue is leaving the NFL in a good place. Who might be on the short list to replace him?
Well, there are some names of people the casual fan might not know. There is a man who has been working with Tagliabue in the league office for a number of years named Roger Goodell. There are a couple of other men who are officials with teams, Mr. McKay in Tampa Bay, Mr. Cass in Baltimore. There's a very intriguing possibility, although I think it's a very much of a long shot, in Condoleezza Rice, who has said, I think kind of whimsically in the past, that her dream job is to be the commissioner of the National Football League. I think that would be a very intriguing selection.
Sure. I know one of the issues that the new commissioner might deal with is expansion of the NFL. For example, there's no team here in Los Angeles.
And I think that when push comes to shove, I think that'll be one of Mr. Tagliabue's failures. He did not manage to get a team back into the Los Angeles market. I know Mr. Tagliabue wanted a team in L.A., just couldn't find a way to get it done. And L.A. will try to get something done before Mr. Tagliabue actually leaves office at the end of July. So, I mean, there are some deadlines coming up, and I think if nothing gets done between now and the end of July with Los Angeles, I think it's a setback, and I think the next commissioner will have to address it.
Michael, it's a pleasure as always.
Always nice to be with you, Scott.
Michael Nisley is a senior editor at ESPN.com. If you have any feedback on anything you hear on Marketplace, you're always welcome to send us an email. The address, letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
When you think of a business role...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.